Hello, you're listening to Reality Sandwich on 89.5 KPOO San Francisco. My name is Martin Matthews. I am a certified medical hypnotherapist and personal coach with Healthful Living here in San Francisco. And this is our radio show, Reality Sandwich, where every Thursday at noon we serve up a palatable taste of the truth on topics of the mind, the body, our planet, our society, our community, and really how we're doing as a collective of human beings in our life experience. So we have a phenomenal show today, and I'm very fortunate to be here with my co-host, Camila Aguilar. Welcome, Camila.
Hi, it's good to be back.
Sorry, I didn't have you on there. Welcome, Camila.
Hi, it's good to be back.
Okay. So, Camila, just give us, give your listeners just a very, very quick background of kind of where you're at and what you're doing and how you've come to bring us these phenomenal guests today.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been on the show before and have introduced myself as associated with Studio B, which is a community space at the base of Potrero Hill. And as a result of having, over the last 17, going on 18 years, a number of artists, political activists, writers, communicators, visioneers, on and on, I've had the pleasure of meeting a lot of very interesting people. And today, it is my great pleasure to introduce the local San Francisco chapter. I believe they go by Gaggle, a gaggle of raging grannies. I'm going to introduce Judy Turgis so she can introduce the rest of her gaggle who's in the studio now.
Well, thanks, Camila. It's really great to be here. And you're an honorary granny, as you know, so anytime we get lucky, Camila comes out and sings with us.
I've always wanted to be a granny.
And actually, having grandchildren isn't a requirement. A requirement that we, if there is one, would be to have a passion for saving the world. We're not afraid to say it. I'm old enough now where I can actually say that. Mm-hmm. When I was a little bit younger, it might have seemed audacious, but you know, it's time for being audacious. And so I became acquainted with the grannies. We have two grannies here from the peninsula, Raging Grannies, who have been my mentors in grannydom. And I'm very grateful to have Gail and Ruth here, and we'll introduce them in just a moment. But my San Francisco, one of my founding grannies is Faith Petrick, and she's here. I'd really like to introduce Faith and just see if she has a couple of words to say here.
I don't think that I do have. It's just that the Raging Grannies are an absolutely wonderful thing to have in your life as you're older, so that you feel that you're useful and you're doing something and you're having a good time and a lot of fun and you're saving the world.
Well, thanks, Faith. And also we have Gail. She can introduce herself from down the peninsula, a fantastic songwriter, granny. Many, many songs we sing every time we appear have been written by Gail.
Yeah, well, I think all of us are lifelong activists, and this is a way to continue our activism in a way that is effective and also fun at the same time. One of the big advantages is in our outrageous hats and outfits were pretty non-threatening and kind of help break through the wall of fear that's sometimes created around activism. And we're pretty well smear-proof.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty non-threatening. I mean, if I saw you coming down the street, I'd be thinking, hey, there's a bunch of grannies coming down the street.
Yeah, and yet we managed to deal with very controversial issues and, you know, tell the truth that's often not being told in a way that people can accept, I think.
Yeah, it is kind of odd that the truth is controversial.
Yeah.
So I'm curious. I mean, certainly the world needs saving. I'm sorry. We have one more granny to introduce. I apologize.
Well, if you're wondering what we look like, I think I'll let our host describe us. But if you happen to be near a computer, our website is www.peninsularaginggrannies.org. And you can see us in our wild hats and scarves. And that's pretty much the only requirement to be a raging granny and sing with us is be willing to dress in an outrageous fashion. You don't have to be a grandmother, as we said. You don't have to even be a woman. And you can reach us through the website, too.
And you don't have to be able to sing.
But you'll find out soon because we're going to sing a few of our ditties. And please don't turn off the radio.
Oh, this is going to be great. You have some links on the website where folks can hear some of the music, right?
Yeah, we've got video and audio. We've been had a lot of video posted on IndieBay, and we've been in big press as well, USA Today, San Francisco Chronicle, quite a bit in the San Jose Mercury. So we've got links to all those articles about us, too.
And there are many more of you, right? There's a gaggles all over the place?
There's gaggles. There's over 60 gaggles throughout the world, with a lot in the U.S., most in Canada, because that's where they started. And Faith is going to address how Grannies got started way back in 1986. And here in the Bay Area, our website will hook you up with gaggles. And there's one in San Jose. There's the East Bay. There's City of San Francisco. There's even one in Sonoma. So wherever you are in the Bay Area, wherever you in our listenership, there is a Raging Granny gaggle out there to welcome you.
So can we get a little background, Faith? What initiated this granny uprising?
Well, it was started by a group of women in Victoria, and what they were concerned about was the nuclear submarines of the United States coming into the Victoria Harbor, and they were trying to think of a way to protest that, and that's how they got started. There were 8 women who started it. 2 of them were veterans of World War II. Then the next group, I think, was those Salt Spring Island Raiding Grannies, and they got started in April the 15th of the following year, 1987. And then the Vancouver Raging Grannies, this is all in Canada, started December 87, and Gabriola's Grannies started in 1988. So you can see it was just growing. It spread across Canada, and there are now, I'd say, 60 or more Raging Granny groups in Canada alone. Then it went off over into the UK, and the Raging Granny groups there. And now it's spreading rapidly, I think, throughout the United States. I don't know how many we have. But that's how it got started, and it just spreads. There's older women that are anxious to speak our minds and to do something about the conditions that we think are wrong, and then we're going to make them right.
So in about the last 20 years, we've had a wave of Raging Grannies rise up, setting a good example. I think that was the idea when we were talking in the station earlier today, is the wanting to reach out and, as Gail said, have a meaningful contribution to continue to be made into the older years. And also there is a difference in attitudes toward activism amongst our youth now, and it seems like a good, wonderful opportunity to be able to show how it's done beyond anger, beyond reactionary.
Well, and we're very well received by younger people. I think that they find it very uplifting and encouraging to know that the older generation is behind them, and also that there are ways of being empowered, as you say, even as you age. Even if you can't run around and climb trees or march for long distances, there are very effective things that you can do.
Well, I think it's absolutely wonderful to have this check-in and connection with this generation. You know, most cultures in the world that have been around for a long, long time infuse into their nature, bringing down the wisdom from above, from their previous generation, learning from them, listening to them, taking in what are they observing about how we're doing, right, with life and society and all that we're creating. But here in America, it's not sort of part of our fabric. So I think it's tremendous that you guys are out there sort of organizing amongst yourselves and saying, hey, we've got some stuff to communicate.
Oh, and you know, one thing I really wanted to communicate, because I was part of the 60s generation myself, mm-hmm. and we were the generation that condemned anyone over 30. Mm-hmm. Now, here I am, 60, and realizing that was a mistake because of what you just said. We lost out on the wisdom and thinking in terms of the 7 generations and how what we're doing now will affect our progeny. And so now we're very much aware of it, and we have a completely different perspective on politics. We're not angry. We're angry, but we're not condemning.
Right.
We're more than we're just, as you said, Camilla, trying to have an example, be the example of what we think is right.
Right.
And we also find that where we go as part of a protest or a rally, first of all, we're pretty immune to police violence, because that would make a terrible photo to see policemen beating on an older woman in a funny hat. And we also tend to calm things down. We have noticed that it seems to reduce tensions. And on more than one occasion, we have stood between the policemen on their horses and the other demonstrators.
Sure. Well, I can certainly attest that I am very relaxed right now. Very relaxed.
Our symbol, our granny symbol, shows a and Faith is wearing the granny Raging Granny T-shirt today. It shows a Raging Granny cartoon character with an umbrella, and she's raising it in angry, but in anger. Looks like she's angry, but believe me, she's not going to hit anybody.
Yeah, I think, you know, hopefully we're beyond that, right? We're beyond needing to...
Well, when you're for nonviolence, when you're committed entirely to nonviolence, which we are, there's and you're fighting against war and aggression, it's in us, it's in human nature, and we want to spread the word that nonviolence is the way, and peaceful negotiation, and talking to one another, and sharing across the generations. And I think we get that message across in some of our songs. Whenever you're ready, we'll sing some.
Well, we're going to roll into that in hopefully any moment now. We were talking about that just before the show, about how naturally you connect and communicate with people. You're conveying truth, and it's innately human. It just touches people where they are inside. And that natural place where we are inside is not one of fear, which is what is used by everybody else who's out there communicating stuff to people, right? So when you just kind of do your thing and you just kind of show up as a granny and you just communicate truth, people are like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I can hear that. So what are some of the what are some of your really hot areas that are just, you know, burning to communicate and sing about?
Well, we're always out there against the war. That's been the overriding issue. But and maybe we'll start with a song about that. But we also are worried about what's going on in education today, education cuts for veterans. They've had tremendous cuts in their health benefits.
Yes.
How are we treating our veterans after sending them off to war? And we have a song about just about everything. We've been out talking to military recruiters, and we have songs about that, too.
Oh, I'd love to hear about that.
We're also very concerned about protecting democracy. We really consider ourselves very patriotic, and we are very, very concerned about clean elections and fair elections and the fact that clearly it's become clearer and clearer that there has been rigging and fraud in recent years.
Do you have a song about that?
Well, yes, we do. Well, we included in our piece, instead of war song, we have one line.
Right. This is sort of a zipper song to the tune of Saints Come Marching In, and we can throw in any topic we want, and we'll sing about peace, and then we'll talk about the one verse about election fraud, just to keep it short and sweet.
Okay.
Are we on?
Yes, you're on, and let's just make sure we're all situated somewhere where we can hear both of you. All right?
When we make peace instead of war, when we make peace instead of war, how I want to be in that number. When we make peace instead of war.
When all can vote.
When all can vote.
And there's no fraud.
And there's no fraud. When all can vote and there's no fraud.
And there's no fraud.
How I want to be in that number. When all can vote and there's no fraud.
Yay!
Yeah,
all right. I want to be in that number.
Oh, let's get a hat today. Oh, I just couldn't help thinking, with all the gaggles all over Canada and the United States, are there ever big, grand, granny gaggle gatherings?
Well, they have conventions. They call them unconventions.
Unconventions.
And I don't know if we've had one yet in the United States, but I think they have one every year up in Canada.
They sure do. And the Canadians actually prefer to do it up there. Some of them are a little afraid to come south of the border. It's our Patriot Act that we're all living with, and the Canadians are quite frightened about, as they should be. Mm. So heretofore, in the last 20 years, all the unconventions, as they're called, because they're kind of unconventional, are held in Canada, and Gail and I have been to several of those.
And they're international, too. And we've had grannies from French-speaking Canada, and we've had grannies from England. And little-known fact is there is now a raging granny group in Israel.
We haven't seen them yet at an unconvention, but we hope to. We've got one coming up in Windsor, Ontario, Canada, in June, and we're hoping that there'll be representatives from both Israel, and there's the Japan Raging Grannies also.
So there actually is a group. Maybe they're called the Kvetchinyentas?
Something like that, yeah.
Their name is in Hebrew. I didn't try to memorize it.
Okay. Wow, I think I've met some people like that. This is phenomenal. I could really see this movement going across the world. You know, we're here at an incredibly phenomenal time, point in time, where we all are still alive in our, you know, experiencing what's happening in the world and this awakening that's going on the planet. And that you have this opportunity to say, you know, I'm going to do something about it, and I'm going to connect with other people like me to do a part. And I think it's incredible how it's growing, and I could really see this spreading around the world, and hopefully the rest of the planet can tune in and maybe just, you know, allow themselves to connect in with this truth a little bit more and take it in a way that doesn't get their own defenses up, right? Because as we were saying earlier, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are outraged about what's going on, and they're, you know, they're angry and they're jumping up and down and they're yelling and wanting to fight the system back. But that doesn't really work because the system doesn't care. The system's not worried about you, one little person, getting angry and yelling. And people don't take the information in. But if we can communicate to them in a way, just as we would whether we're working with any individual person who can help to use a change, you meet them where they are at, you love them for who they are, you understand how they got there, and you go, hey, you know, what's really important to you? And what do you want to create? And then let's all talk about that and figure out how we can make that happen. And that's kind of where I feel that we're at massively on a macrocosm of humanity now, and stopping and going, all right, what are we doing? So it's so beautiful that me, a younger generation, I mean, I'm 40, so I'm in the, you know, next generation down, saying, hey, what can we learn from you guys? You've had more life experience. You've seen the impact of things happening over time. You're aware. You're more conscious of that naturally. What else is emerging for you right now that's like, you know, God, we gotta change this?
Well, we are the only group that I'm aware of that has organized a rally against the use of torture, and we've written songs about that as well. Mm-hmm. We're just very concerned that this is kind of being played down and it's going under the radar and people feel helpless to do anything about it. And so we had a big rally at Union Square.
Boy, good
in
for you.
Conjunction with the Ronald Reagan Home for the Criminally Insane, who helped put on street theater demonstrating the very big problem. And so we try to sing about this very serious and scary problem in a way that makes it acceptable.
Yeah, nothing could be more unhuman, I think, than torture.
Well, just this last weekend, too, there was this thing about Roe versus Wade, and that's one of our big concerns as mm-hmm, women. Mm-hmm. And we sang at the demonstration against that, and we're all concerned, of course, with what's happening with the Supreme Court.
Yes.
And I think that Roe versus Wade is one of our, there are so many big issues, but you said the immediate right now, that's certainly one of them we're very concerned with.
We're so happy that Peninsula Raging Grannies are so happy that San Francisco Raging Grannies have come on the scene, because they've contributed a lot of new songs, bring a lot of energy and a lot of musical talent to this. And we have a song that we sang at the rally. And if we can sing that now.
Yeah.
To the tune of These Are the Days, My Friend. And you'll notice that all our songs are to familiar tunes. And there's a reason for that. We pass out lyrics at rallies or performances so that everybody can sing along. It really gets everybody invested in the issue when they are singing the words themselves. So we're not performers so much as we are cheerleaders at times. And
so this song was sung at the Roe versus Wade rally. Mm-hmm. Last week.
It was a celebration of Roe v. Wade.
Yeah, we had a great turnout from all over. We had grannies from San Jose, Marin, Peninsula. We had a woman who joined us who's from Orange County. She was all fired up. So it was a great turnout. We must have had about 15 grannies there last weekend. And this is to that old tune from the 60s, These Are the Days. These are the... Ready, go.
These are the days, my friend, make sure they never end. Roe versus Wade ensures that we are free. We have the right to choose that we will never lose, so long as we stand here in unity. La 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 la
We have the right to choose that we will never lose, so long as we stand here in unity.
Yay!
Well, we whoop and holler a lot, too. If people don't clap first, we make them because we, whee, grannies, and get them
hooping and hollering.
Oh, yeah. Very unladylike, but that's one of the original aims of the Victoria Grannies when they started in 1986 up there in Canada. They specifically say in their aims, we want to be unladylike and outrageous, and it's a lot of fun. We encourage people to contact us and join us.
We have the right to choose. One that we'll never lose. Let's talk about that. What is this right to choose? And why aren't people using it?
Well, what makes you think they aren't?
Because we can go off on that one, but let's
it's a big one. I'd like to say something about Roe v. Wade, since it is kind of topical, and I know Judy mentioned that there was such a large counterforce, the Walk for Life people. What really comes up for me is the overwhelming distortion of reality. So here we are in Reality Sandwich wanting to try to peel apart a few things. Like Roe v. Wade, it was something that was established to give women a right to choose. But really, reproductive choice is an issue that is largely class-oriented. And we don't hear so much about that. You know, wealthy white women will always be able to have family planning, afford it. If they need abortions, they'll be able to go somewhere to get it. Even if we lose Roe v. Wade, it's the underprivileged, under-resourced people in this country who are unrepresented in so many ways. So I'm just wondering what wisdom the grannies might have to give toward this, because there was a lot more the Walk for Life people representing something that I'm sure if anyone were to ask any of them, are you a racist, are you a classist, they would probably not sit well with that description. And yet, it's what it boils down to. Any words on that from the ground?
I feel very passionately about this, and you brought up the exact point. I've done some research on how many children die because of pollution in our environment. And it's not easy to get some of this information, but it goes up there in with how many abortions there are. And these are children who are alive, and they're suffering because they're hungry, they're sick, they can't get medical care. And so the question to me is, why don't we have rallies against polluters, against politicians who will rewrite laws to take away environmental protections? So we do have a lot to say about that.
I think that something that gets overlooked a lot is that I'm sure that many women who are driven to have an abortion, it is their last resort. It is the court of last resort. And they're driven to this by lack of resources, lack of support. And while we think we're a child-oriented society, actually, compared to other nations, other industrialized nations, what we offer our children and our families is totally pathetic.
And lousy schools and no medical care, no decent housing that they're born into. So we warehouse them in jails when they grow up.
It also ties in with the anti-war theme in what looks to me like the growing Walk for Life movement is really a growing movement for producing, in a very crassly stated way, cannon fodder. We have underprivileged people who have no choice. They're not going to college. If they don't go to prison, then they're going to be enlisted and used for wars that are wars of aggression for resource usurpation. So again, it's all around resources. And we're going to hear from Judy.
We've got a raging granny here with
something. You have a raging granny. I'm chewing my knuckles here. So this is a time for a song. See, when grannies get so angry and our blood is boiling and we're sitting in our houses reading the news, watching the news, and I would go crazy. Mm-hmm. And now to have an outlet. Okay, so here's an outlet for this very topic. It's called The Young Men We Kill in a War. Da, da, da. Ready, go.
The young men we kill in a war are probably somebody's brothers.
The women and children who die are just people like you and I. The fat cats who profit from war will get oil fields and bases and power. They make sure that you never see bloody victims on your TV. If you think that this war is wrong, well, it is!
And you're right.
Now I feel much better. Yeah. It's still out there, but at least I didn't pin that up inside me, which then turns toxic.
Yeah.
So we need outlets.
Yeah. There's a lot of toxicity out there in our minds, and as you were talking about in the environment, and so many children being affected. And so my wife works primarily with autistic kids in her nutrition practice, and you know, these are so many children out there that are affected by what's happening in our environment, and even what we're doing, you know, unintentionally ourselves as far as toxifying their bodies. It's you know, it's just something that gets so swept under the rug, unfortunately, so many topics today, because this whole generation that's been driving our society has been so wrapped up in materialism and not really connecting in to the, you know, the deep reality of what's going on and the impact of how we've been being.
Well, and when you say driving our society, I think that by and large people are good and are able to overcome the brainwashing about materialism.
Yep.
But the fact is that the media and the information is so controlled.
Yep.
And there's a lot of denial going on, a lot of secrecy, and then people who feel frustrated, so they just go into a state of denial and block it out.
Yeah, they just get so overwhelmed with, the fear. Yeah, fear is keeping people locked in place. They don't really have the ability to check inside and go, you know, want to do something about it. All the messages we're saying that's being perpetuated through the media, through advertising, through commercialism, through constant messages of inadequacy. And but we're also living in a time, I feel, where more people are slowly tuning in and connecting in. And we're living in the hub of that here in San Francisco. And much of that is happening here. But it's us finding ways and grannies finding ways to get the message out and connect with people, where they are.
I'd like to bring up another blood boiling concept.
Okay. Let's get blood boiling.
One thing I have been concerned about, I come from a very large Mexican family, and one of the things about Mexican families is you don't discard the old people, and children are premium. You raise them as an investment into your future. It's the whole point. It's the reason why. And with that value system, although I chose not to have kids, I have always really valued my grandmother, who, when she hears this, hi, Abuelita, she's about to be 96 years old. One of the things that impressed me about my family and our strategy is the fact that no one is discarded. And in our society, suicide rates in elderly people have been astronomical because of the divide and conquer methodology of spreading the consumer doctrine. We have nuclear families that just get spread far and wide, and there's no longer the support system. Meanwhile, single mothers have a hard time making a living because they're between a rock and a hard place. Who's going to take care of the kids, and how can you take care of the kids if you don't go to work? But if you go to work, what's going to happen to these kids?
Right.
So it seems like clearly the bridge is there. We need to bring elderly people back into society, and what about all of those kids who are needing guidance and all of this wonderful clarity and knowledge that is expressed in your songs? I'm just seeing this possibility of having daycare centers where we've got raging grannies teaching these songs to young kids to overcome the consumer indoctrination of television sets. What do you think about that?
Well, we've always been concerned about children. A lot of us grannies are actually minding and doing caretaking for our own grandchildren, and want to spread that love everywhere. And a big concern of ours is education. This current regime, the Bush administration, pays a lot of lip service to education, where what they've done is cuts. And of course, as you know, from your wife's work with autistic children. Special education is one big area that's neglected, but overall education is neglected as well. And we have a song written to Yankee Doodle Dandy about the cuts and how we feel about them. And this is written by a San Francisco teacher, Celia Roseberry Lighthill. Celia, if you're out there, hello from the Raging Grannies, who sent us this song with her blessings, and it's about budget cuts to education.
Just tuning in, you're listening to 89.5 KPOO San Francisco. We're here today with the Raging Grannies, and we're about to hear another one of their ditties.
Yay. Yankee Doodle went to school one bright and early morning. When there were no books, the teacher said they had no funny. Yankee Doodle wants to learn. Yankee is ambitious. He hopes to go to college soon, but now he's washing dishes.
And I have a feeling that on the other side of the room where Faith and Gail are, they were singing, start on a different note than Judy and I did. But this happens. We don't expect to be good. We just expect to be heard.
Do you have an album?
You know, we've gotten a lot of requests for CDs, and we're working on recording something in a studio right now. They'll be part of a compilation that's going to be many gaggles throughout the world. They're each going to submit one track, and we're hoping to get it out to the public soon.
The Canadian Grannies have put out song books of their songs, which is helpful.
Well, since we just sang about education and the classroom, I just want to throw in there, folks, that education does not begin in kindergarten. It starts at birth. And all the other industrialized societies where sometimes families are torn apart by the needs of the industrial society provide early childhood education and daycare that is very high quality and educational. If you leave that part out, I'm telling you, folks, kindergarten is too late.
I had so many thoughts.
I'm just thinking about this theme. You know, this one of the programs my wife is doing with the children is Nourish the Future. It's all about women preparing for pregnancy in advance. My wife and I are soon looking at intending to have children. We've often think about that and anticipate that and wonder about that. We're calling that conscious conception. It sounds like we're kind of on the same theme here about being more intentional about what we're creating and what we're bringing into the world and nurturing these children.
I think we're taking childhood away from children. All of this education. When do you play? You got homework to do for testing. You're not getting education. You're not learning how to think, how to judge, and how to evaluate. You're learning how to take tests. I'd like to get back to your thing about what do you do in a community for the children. Where a friend of mine was hired not long ago to do a survey in San Francisco here. She went into one of the poor neighborhoods to find out what the women in that neighborhood needed. What did it turn out? A central place where they could leave their children at least for an hour or 2 hours or maybe all day, but a place where they could get relaxation, where they could get a little help. And here are the older people feeling, nobody needs me anymore. I'm lonely. Who would love to get in there and help? And I seem that's what I felt that you were talking about. And we'd save tons of money if we'd invest money in something like that now. We could quit building all those jails.
That's right.
Hooray.
What a much better return on an investment like that.
Yeah, in early childhood education doesn't mean, you know, learning to read and write. It means learning to play.
Yeah.
And all the things that children develop in the early years, and these are overlooked by our politicians by and large, with few exceptions.
I think we're learning. We're trying to communicate and let people know that the system that we've got in place isn't really serving us. It's not really nurturing our kids. It's not really helping us have happier and healthier lives. This whole thing with grannies connecting to help, you know, to work with these kids. I mean, it makes sense, but we've gotten into this pattern where we struggle and we have to pay somebody to do it, and all these things that we've, you know, been told to do through the media, the advertising, the people that are telling us how to spend our money. We've got to get back to the truth and what's real.
I'd like to say something about the word system, or the system. I think that was a phrase that emanated from the 60s, back when people got angry and went into reaction. And I'd like to point out that One of the wonderful things that I'm impressed with the grannies is the personal commitment each one of you have made to create an alternative to an unconsciously participated in system.
Mm-hmm.
Because systems really, when we talk about the system, it otherizes. Somehow the system came from over there, you know, invasion of the body snatchers, and we got the system. And really the system is the consummate effort of all of our intentions. And so really what we're upon now, an evolutionary imperative states that we must understand system and how it works and what system we're part of. And it looks like one of the big, going back to the Roe v. Wade thing, one of the big pinnacle issues is about ownership of words. You know, there's the walk for life. Well, the grannies are singing all about life-giving forces, all about what gives life. What are people who are claiming the word life but are not really engaged in a conscious way with our system? How do we reach out to those people? How do we get them to fall off of the unconscious track, I wonder?
Well, that's why I really joined the grannies, because I don't want to alienate anyone. And I saw when I first became aware of the grannies last summer, that this was an opportunity for me, because we don't alienate. And people see us, they laugh at first, and we're singing these songs, and the words are incredible. They're very, you know, I mean, if we said it and I was dressed in some other way or as in a suit, the people who were for the system would turn me out. But because I'm a granny and I'm singing, they're singing along because they know the tune, and then all of a sudden this idea is planted like a seed in their head before they know it.
mm-hmm.
And it's really wonderful, because I know some people will go home and that tune will still be going in their head, and that little seed will be nourished.
And the media opportunities abound. We're such a great camera op and photo op that we just, you know, we could never pay for this amount of publicity and to get our word out. As I said before, we've been in USA Today with full feature articles, many with several color photos. And at that time we were talking about counter-military recruiting, which is something we also do. And we have a song about that. What kind of thing we do is go and talk to recruiters. And we take them tea and cookies and say, here we are, let's sit down and talk. And the last time we did this, which was just January 17th in Belmont, California, at a recruiter's there were several potential enlistees in the Marine Corps office, and they got to hear what we said, too. We gave them pause for thought.
You know, what's synonymous with grannies for me is love.
Mm-hmm.
And
we spread a lot of love.
And when you just go and you just be a granny and you just love somebody, there's no inhibition there. There's no barrier there. You know, you get to directly communicate, as you were saying, and it softens people right up to their underbelly of who they are, and then they can take in what you're communicating.
Well, don't fool yourself there. It really is the chocolate chip cookies.
Well, you know, okay. It could be the cookies, too.
This was a wonderful thing. I participated in one event at a recruiting station, where we did bring cookies and tea. And we were all in our granny garb, and we just very sweetly, you know, well, we just want to talk to you and mm-hmm. see. We really wanted to find out what are these agreements that our grandchildren will be signing when they join the Army. I mean, what exactly are the promises that are made to them? Because
mm-hmm.
we're thinking maybe they're not getting everything they're promised when they actually go in. But here, have another cookie.
Right. Yes. Asking.
And it goes down real well.
Sure. It's we were talking before about how people get indoctrinated to their way of being and what perpetuates, you know, what's wrong with what's happening out there now is that they're using a similar strategy, but they're using this notion of fear, right? And shocking people, and they go, and people get frozen, and then they shoot in a message.
Yeah,
right? You're scared, and here's what we need, that we're going to tell you what's right. And it puts people in a trance, and then it creates a state where they can then take in information. And we know this because we can understand and study today how the minds of the masses are affected intentionally. We were talking earlier about, just briefly about this notion of the subconscious and hypnosis and these kind of techniques that we understand to help us get back to what we wanted to. So this is what you're doing here is you're kind of trancing people out with reality and love. And they go, ah. And then you hit them with a lyric of a song that's something about the truth that in that moment they can then take it in. And that's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
It's so brilliant. It's so exciting.
It works.
And it works.
Yeah.
Well, and the use of humor accomplishes what's known in the hypnosis biz as lowering the effective screen, which is to, you know, bring down people's defenses.
Right.
And it is true that if you look at reporting on protests, at least in recent years, and even back in the 60s, there was a tremendous emphasis, because it makes a good photo, on anything that happened that was at all violent or out of line, even if it was only a very small, infinitesimally small percentage of those who were protesting, whereas we're getting out there a different, non-threatening image.
Right, right. Yes.
Martin? Did you want to hear another song, as long as we're talking about counter-recruiting?
I would
love
to hear
a song.
You
promised
us. Yeah, the counter-recruiting thing. So
we're going to try and start on the same note this time.
So here, you're trying to get out there and let recruiters, are you talking, is this kind of a message to the kids that are trying to get out there online? Or?
Well, we visit recruiting centers, and often there are kids there who have been coerced in, their high schools.
Uh-huh.
They've been tricked in, basically. The recruiters give them free ski trips. And
they've been playing video games that have been training them for stuff. And they've been watching stuff on TV. And they've been getting into this, I want to go to the Army.
Right. And they get all excited. Now, we can't beat recruiters every day, but we do also leaflet at schools and talk to parent groups.
Absolutely.
So we're this is something we're very heavy into working in, and we worked with the Campus Anti-War Network, which is college students who are trying to get recruiters off their campuses and joined a rally there in December. And this is one song that really we let loose, and the crowd loved it.
It looks like to me you've edited it down too much.
Let's sing the whole thing then.
Because this is Reality Sandwich. We want the uncut version of the song.
Well, every
Granny's uncut.
Granny's uncut, and it's every verse says something really important about the recruiter's methods.
Okay.
Those uniforms, they look so nice, those uniforms, they look so nice, but are they worth the price? Do recruiters sometimes lie, sometimes lie, sometimes lie? Do recruiters sometimes lie? Just ask a soldier friend. Are those benefits so great, all that great, all that great? Are those benefits so great? Just ask a wounded vet. We advise you to think first, to think first, to think first. We advise you to think first. It just may save your life.
Yay us!
Yay us. Yay you. Yay you. Yay you.
It's a song that needs to be broadcast widely. We're coming to the last part of our show, and I would love, before you go, to get an opportunity to hear about some of the victories that the Grannies have accomplished in the last 20 years, if there have been special endeavors that have been most memorable. Any stories around this idea?
Okay. I'll start with one, and it'll also give you a invitation to our next upcoming gig. We have been at Walmart 5 times. That's just the Peninsula Grannies, and other gaggles in the area have been at Walmart in the East Bay. And because we're grannies, they don't even send the police around. A couple times they come out and say move on, but we're right there and we're talking to shoppers and we're singing to shoppers. And because of our frequent appearances at Walmart, we got a cameo appearance in Robert Greenwald's movie Walmart: The High Cost of Low Price, which if you haven't seen yet, please go see it. And even if you did see it, you're going to have to look very carefully for us. We're at the very end where they show a lot of demonstrators. And the next showing in San Francisco is February 1st, this coming Wednesday. It's at the WILSEY Conference Center at the beautiful Grace Cathedral here in downtown San Francisco. The address is 1100 California Street, and you can sign up. It's free. There's free refreshments, free performance by the Grannies. www.walmartmovie.com, and all the details are there, and you can sign up if you want to online. It's not really necessary. They just kind of want to get an idea of how many refreshments to serve. Now, we'll be gathering for goodies at 6. The grannies will be there to meet you and talk with everybody. We sing at 6:30, and the movie screens at 7. So remember that website, walmartmovie.com, and for any other things, questions you have about the grannies or to contact us, visit peninsularaginggrannies.org. And that's kind of what we've got coming up in February, but we also have some surprises. So they'll be posted on our website, too. Now, more successes. We have had some fabulous successes. I'll let Gail talk about one of them.
Well, I'll tell about one, and I'm sure Ruth will think of others, but we have participated in several rallies around the issue of election fraud, and so we've managed to get photographs of our funeral that we had for mock funeral for fair elections into the local press. And so far as I'm aware, our lyrics about election fraud were the only times that those two words were heard together on the evening news.
Another success is that we shut down a recruiting station for a day just because they heard we were coming. That was last summer in Sunnyvale, California, a recruiting station there that houses substations for the Marines, Army, Navy, and Air Force. And a reporter tipped him off by saying, "We heard the grannies are coming on Saturday." Well, when we went to demonstrate, they were shut down for the day. And that was a success in our view, because if you don't have recruiting station open, we're pretty sure that some people who might have had appointments or might have just walked in on a Saturday found the doors shut, and that's a success in Granny's mind. In any way we can keep the young folks from signing up and killing others. And we work with Veterans for Peace a lot because they help bring the message from their real experience, that the military is about killing and being killed, and that's the message that, of course, the recruiters don't want them to know. So, you know, there's all kinds of areas we've been successful. We helped the SEIU, Service Employees International Union, Local 715 down in Palo Alto, with a big win for city workers down in Palo Alto. A big issue is our visit to the National Guard. Along with Code Pink, we were at a rally in Sacramento last Mother's Day, and the National Guard was subsequently found to have been spying on these peaceful protesters that included Raging Grannies, Code Pinkers, and Veterans for Peace. When that was uncovered by some very wonderful journalism by San Jose Mercury, it came to light, and Senator Dunn of Garden Grove, California, is a state senator. He is continuing to pursue what happened with this National Guard incident. Apparently a small investigative unit was set up specifically to do this kind of work. Since it was uncovered thanks to whistleblowers, that has been dismantled. And the grannies kept it in the press. We really worked hard with Code Pink to keep it in the press. For a while there, we were daily in the news. And we just kept it in people's eyes. And you can't ignore when you've got some grannies complaining, "Don't spy on me. We are the most innocent people to spy on." And it makes the whole business of spying look really bad. In fact, now that this NSA spying is coming to light, a lot of AP articles are saying, well, back in Mother's Day, we had National Guard spying on grannies. And just the image of spying on, wasting taxpayer money, if nothing else, not to mention, infringing on our rights for peaceful protest, it's something about the Raging Granny's name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it brings to mind, how ludicrous is this spying on grannies?
Yeah.
And we're not, we're obviously not terrorists. We're obviously not people who are threatening. So something about our image really enhances an effort like that.
Well, Raging Grannies, you certainly are a movement. As you were saying, you definitely are a movement. And as a movement, you earlier articulated that your prime objective is to save the world. And now that you're out there doing your thing and you're communicating and people are listening and people are dropping, having their defenses dropped and hearing some truth, I believe that we can do this, that we can change the world and we can turn things back to us all living healthfully in so many ways. I'd love to hear you talk a little bit about what does that look like? What will we be doing? How will we be thinking? How will we be connecting? What's going to be happening as we change?
Well, we, as grannies, we want to be around our families, mm-hmm. and we want to share what we've learned. I can say that I was a part of a generation that rejected my elders and anyone who was older. We couldn't trust them, so and so. And so this is a legacy that we're now having to, I feel personally obligated to try and heal that and to create a bridge. Mm-hmm. And so I would see a society that was much more integrated and where the senior wisdom was accepted and sought after and the youthful exuberance was encouraged and sheltered from being corrupted by, money and corporate mm-hmm. interests. Right now, everything is brought down to the bottom dollar.
Right.
Well, how much does it make for somebody? And so, and there's this have and have not, there's the, this, and it's this polarization, which is very, very destructive, where we're polarizing the old and the new, the young, and then the different, oh, I'm a liberal, so I'm bad, who's good, who's bad, this is
right.
all very,
right.
Very destructive to our society, so that's the kind of thing I'd like to help.
Yeah, and to some extent, the message that we want to convey, which is very profound, is the things that you basically teach your children, which is share, play fair, and use your words instead of fighting. But I can't resist this chance to mention that there is a bill in the state assembly that would help clean up elections, and you won't hear about this in the media. It's called Assembly Bill 583. Call your assemblyman or assemblywoman, please.
Faith, do you have any final words for changing the world?
I'm 90 years old. That's a long time, mm. I've discovered. I look back and I've seen an awful lot. I tend not to believe in the good old days. It's where we're going. It's what we are striving to achieve, which mm-hmm. we've been trying to achieve for thousands of years, a world of peace and justice, where everyone has a right and people are all created. You can define it and define it all you want. But it's where we're going. It's what we're for rather than what we're against.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. Thank you all so, so much for being here and helping to communicate and doing what you're doing. We absolutely believe, and this is precisely what we're emerging here through Healthful Living and using this show, Reality Sandwich, to communicate this notion of healthful living. How can we opt in and choose the way of being in our world? Because if we're not choosing anything, if we're not being intentional about what we want to create, then we're just hanging out and unknowingly or unwittingly or even denyingly being a part of a system that really isn't working for us. So
consuming and being consumed.
Precisely. So thank you all for listening. This has been Reality Sandwich, Healthful Living's radio show. You can find more information about the show at kpoo.com, or you can hear the show up on our website at healthfullivingsf.com. My name is Martin Matthews. I'm a certified clinical and medical hypnotherapist with Healthful Living, and I've been here today with Camila Aguilar.
Thank you for listening, and if you'd like further information about community gatherings or a space for doing local activist work, Studio B is here for you. For information, you could email to pixelcam, pixelcam, at copper, copper, .net, or call 415-255-9794.
We're on every Thursday at noon. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up next, Connecting the Dots. We'll be right back.